Good afternoon. I would like to call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Why is it so dark over there? Do you guys want to be in the dark? We should turn the lights on over there. I'm already off script. Representative Sumner's going to be upset. Today is Friday, May 5th, 2023. Let the record reflect the time is 3:15 p.m. Today we have present Representative Sadler, Representative Prox, Representative Carrick, Representative Fields, myself, Vice Chair Ruppridge. Staff assisting us today are Jordan Wright with House Records. Thank you for being here, Jordan. Zach Lawhorn with the LIO and Clark Bickford, staff and committee aide to House Labor and Commerce. We have four bills on the agenda in committee today, and we will start with public testimony on three bills, House Bill 166, House Bill 137, and House Bill 138. Then to finish the meeting, we will be looking at a CS on HB 145. Starting with HB 166 from Representative Stapp. Yes, welcome. If you wouldn't mind, Mr. Coghill, giving us just a brief synopsis of House Bill 166, and then we will move to public testimony.
Through the chair, Clifton Coghill, staff to Representative Stapp. Just a quick synopsis. HB 166 basically defines that the Alaska Environmental Conservation Department declared PFAS hazardous several years ago, and House Bill 166 protects the health and prevents future pollution by banning PFAS foams unless federal law preempts it. The bill also requires a state to take back a small quantity of PFAS foam to ensure its proper disposal.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions from committee members? Mr. Coghill? Seeing none.
Comment? Representative Staff. Mr. Chair, thank you. I just wanted to say thank you through the chair to Representative Staff's office for thorough answers to the questions raised in previous committee meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sadler. Representative Sadler. All right, we will then open public testimony. Is there anyone in room wishing to testify on House Bill 166? Seeing none, we do have a couple of folks online, it looks like. We will first turn to David Cruz, Mayor of the City of Fairbanks, calling in from the Fairbanks LIO. If you could please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, thank you. My name is David Pruse. I'm the mayor of the city of Fairbanks, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you this afternoon in regards to House Bill 166 presented by Representative Stapp. Fairbanks has a PFAS problem like most communities do, and in review of this bill, if enacted, it allows a stopgap measure for our fire department to still use the foam that is required to put out fires that we do, and this is a nice interim measure that allows us to do our business and to continue with how we do it and not have to make the investments of the new types of fire apparatuses on the different types of foam that would be required. So I really appreciate this. We all have very tight budgets, and having to When you go out and buy a $750,000 fire truck because you have a different foam requirement, well, you're looking at something else you're losing. And Fairbanks has had a very major contamination problem with PFAS, and we're fighting it. And I'm just so appreciative that there is a stopgap measure for us on this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for Mayor Pruse? Seeing none. Next, we have online Patricia Lee. Patrice Lee. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking testimony. My name is Patrice Lee, and I live in Fairbanks. I'd like to call out Representative Stapp, Prax, and Carrick, whom I work with on several different bills, for their care and concern about PFAS in our community. We cannot stop using it quickly enough, and I stand in support of House Bill 166, not only for its problematic pollution in the waters and soils, but also the potential to be able to take back some of it and dispose of it properly. So thank you for your work on this, and we do stand in support of this bill. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. Any questions for Patrice Lee? Seeing none, and just let the record reflect that we were joined by Representative Staff at 3:20. Welcome, Representative Staff. And thank you for all the hard work you're doing in House Finance today. We've been watching you. That wasn't creepy at all, I promise. Next online, we have Scott Rager with the Fairbanks Fire Department. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, this is Scott Regler, Fire Chief for the Fairbanks Fire Department. Thank you for allowing me to have testimony today. I've worked for the City of Fairbanks for 28 years, and I just want to speak in support, building off Mayor Cruz's prior testimony, that we are totally in support of House Bill 166 and its companion bill in the Senate. In my tenure there, as with the Fire Department, you know, the Fire Department has had PFAS issues. And our training center is located off the 30th Avenue there in the south side of town, where we've had PFAS leak over the years back into the 70s. And as part of that remediation, the city's had to spend millions of dollars of hooking people up to city water from wells all in that contaminated area. So it's been something that's really affected the city of Fairbanks over the years. And, you know, these forever chemicals, they stay, you know, obviously forever. Presents a problem, and coming down the line, it's going to present a larger problem in where PFAS is found in other firefighting. It's found in turnouts and protective gear, but this is a good first step that we totally support, finding a means to eliminate these forever cancer-causing carcinogens. As a fire chief, we do have, and part of the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association, there is a little bit of concern on the end of the bill where it may be perceived that it could tag forcing fire departments to only purchase one type of foam, but that's not a major concern. It's just a concern expressed by the Alaska Fire Chiefs. But in general, we completely support eliminating PFAS foams. Thank you for my testimony.
And thank you for being online and giving testimony today. Any questions for Scott Rager? All right, seeing none. And that brings us to the end of online testimony. Last chance for in-room. Anybody in-room wishing to testify on House Bill 166? Seeing none, I will close public testimony, which brings 166 back before the committee. Is there any further discussion from committee members, questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none. Representative Sadler, what is the will of the committee?
Chairman, I would move House Bill number 66, version A for alpha, 33-LS0757/alpha, be advanced to the committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. And seeing no objection, House Bill 166 will be moved from committee. We will take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. At ease. Back on record, next up is House Bill 137 from Representative Wright, and I believe following closely behind that is House Bill 138. Welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record, and I guess as before, give us the scoop on 137 and probably 138 at the same time. Thank you.
Through the chair, for the record, I am Rachel Gunn, staff to Representative Wright. Today we're hearing House Bills 137 and 138. They're both designed in a really similar manner as a right to practice compact. These bills establish respective or enter Alaska into respective compacts. The first bill, 137, for physical therapy, and the second bill, 138, for audiology and speech pathology.
Excellent. Thank you for giving us that brief introduction. So I will now open public testimony on House Bill 137. Is there anyone in room wishing to testify on House Bill 137? Seeing none, I do have a few folks signed up online. So first we will go to Eric Cordero with the Alaska Policy Forum. Please introduce yourself for the record, Eric, and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Eric Cordero, and I'm the Vice President of Operations at Alaska Policy Forum. Alaska Policy Forum is a 501c3 nonprofit and a nonpartisan state policy think tank. We do not receive any public funds. I'm calling to testify on House Bill 137 and 138. We encourage the adoption of policies that allow for professional and occupational licensure compacting between states. Compacting will help ensure economic growth and stability and create more opportunities for workers in various fields. Currently, many states have unique requirements for obtaining professional licenses, which can be costly and time-consuming for workers seeking to move across state lines. According to the Goldwater Institute, this can create significant barriers to entry for highly skilled professionals who would otherwise contribute to local economies. However, by adopting licensure compacts, the states can allow for greater mobility for licensed professionals and create more job opportunities. These benefits not only help workers, but also the local economy, allowing for a more competitive job market and more efficient use of resources. Furthermore, facilitating licensure compacts can help address the issue of out migration in Alaska. Many highly skilled professionals leave their states in search of better jobs and opportunities, which can harm the state's economy. By creating more job opportunities and reducing barriers to entry, states can retain more of their talented workforce and continue to grow. A recent U.S. index of occupational licensing burdens by the Arkbridge Institute ranks Alaska 44th, placing it in the top 10 least burdensome states, where number one is the most burdensome and 51 being the least demanding. In conclusion, we urge you to consider adopting policies that allow for professional occupational licensure compacts between states, creating more job opportunities and promoting economic growth and stability. Policymakers can help position Alaska at the top as the best state to move to, work, and play. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee for the opportunity to testify.
And thank you for your testimony, Mr. Cordero. Any questions, Representative Fields?
More just a comment, Mr. Chairman. While AFP's support for this raises concerns, I nonetheless continue to support the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fields. Representative Sattler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask through the chair, Mr. Cordero, does your organization have a blanket position on licensure compact bills? We have had several. We've got two before us today. There are others in the Hopper legislature. Just wonder what AFP's position is. Is it blanket, or is it just specifically in support of these two bills?
And just for the record, this is APF, not AFP. They are quite different. So, Mr. Cordero.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, Eric Cordero, Alaska Policy Forum. Through the chair, Representative Sattler, we support, Alaska Policy Forum supports the licensure policies regardless of the bills. And the bills, independent bills, are that's just a legislative question for all of you as policymakers. But when it comes to the actual policies, we support providing more opportunities for workers.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no further questions, thank you for your testimony. Next, we will move to Alec Kay. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, for the record, this is Alec Kay. I am current president of the Alaska chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. Thank you, chair and committee, for hearing my testimony. On behalf of nearly 500 physical therapists and physical therapist assistants in Alaska, I can bring our full-throated support for this bill. Our association supports this bill because it will help us with our mission of improving the life experiences of Alaskans by improving their movement and decreasing pain. Ease of licensing with greater protection for the public, with the addition of the FBI background check, will help our communities at large in terms of their health. Currently, we have no background check, so this would be an additional piece of safety for the public. The state licensing board is struggling with administrative burden, and there are significant delays in terms of getting professional's license, and it's affecting the quality of care that we can administer. And it will also allow Alaska to compete on a more level playing field in attracting more PTs and PTAs to the state more easily. The delays in Alaska for licensing is a barrier, and although there's workforce shortages throughout the country, it doesn't help when there's greater barriers here. Physical therapists and PTAs tend to go where it's easier to get licensed. And so just to be able to compete, this would be really helpful. And as president, I've had complaints from members across the state related to delays in licensing and how it's affected their communities. I've heard a private practice manager in North Pole give an example of 3.5 months to get an applicant license. Same thing in Fairbanks specifically, and Ideal Motion Physical Therapy in Eagle River had the same issue. And in Ketchikan, Kelly Chick has testified related to delays that have cost the community care significantly and ultimately also had real economic impact on these businesses. So I'm very grateful to Representative Wright and Ms. Dunn for helping with this, and I hope that this will move forward. Thank you very much for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. Is there any questions from committee members? Seeing none. We will next move to Marge Stoneking from AARP. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Representative. This is Marge Stoneking, AARP Alaska Advocacy Director. And as you know, Alaska has the fastest growing senior population in the country, and seniors are staying in Alaska, which is good for our state. However, the need for healthcare workforce growth to care for us all as we age is predicted to continue through the current decade in a state already facing a significant healthcare provider shortage. That shortage driven by our aging population, as well as our aging and shrinking healthcare workforce. And the growing demand includes physical therapy, audiology, and speech pathology services. We can help address access to care challenges of an aging population and healthcare workforce shortage by embracing healthcare multi-state licensing compacts to diminish barriers to recruiting licensed providers from other states. To that end, AARP Alaska supports House Bills 137 and 138, enabling Alaska to join the Physical Therapy Compact and Audiology and Speech Pathology Compact. Thank you to Rep. Wright for bringing this legislation forward to continue to streamline our healthcare licensing systems to support improved access to care for all Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none. That brings us to the end of online testimony for House Bill 137. Last chance in room. Anybody wishing to testify on House Bill 137? All right, seeing none, I will close public testimony on House Bill 137. And I will be setting House Bill 137 aside, and we will return to that, I believe, on Monday. Next, we will move to House Bill 138, also from Representative Wright. Thank you, Ms. Gunn, for your introduction. We will now open public testimony on House Bill 138. Is there anybody in room wishing to testify on House Bill 138? Seeing none. We do have a few online as well. Mr. Cordero with the Alaska Policy Forum, did you have anything to add for House Bill 138? Nope, he is now unavailable. All right, we will now move to David Jamieson. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is David Jamieson. I'm a speech therapist and a private practice owner in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I am, and the local speech pathologist community here is 100% in support of HB 138. Right now, we have a severe shortage of therapists in Alaska, and we are critically underserved in our community in Fairbanks. And so as we look for ways to meet the needs of the community, it comes to this idea that we need to eliminate barriers that are stopping us from hiring people from out of state and getting them up here and working on time. Now, anecdotally, the experiences that I've been having over the past, you know, well, since I moved up here and, you know, purchased the business in 2015, is that we will hire people, and then the licensing and credentialing process can take anywhere from, you know, 4 weeks up all the way through 6 months. And now understanding how the process of hiring somebody, we need to keep in mind that licensing is just the first step along the way. And the purpose of the credit or the licensing compact is to eliminate that first 2 to 4 weeks we have to wait before we can actually employ somebody to start meeting this need in our community. So yes, we are fully in support of it. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you for your testimony. We do have one question from Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Jamieson, you said the time it takes to get a license for a new hire can be as long as 6 months. Is that 6 months after submission of a completed application, or is that time also include just the time it takes to make sure your an applicant's application packet is full?
Okay. So there are multiple parts to this question, and I'm going to answer directly the first part. So occupational licensing with the state of Alaska can take anywhere currently from 4 to 6 weeks. But you are not able to employ somebody gainfully in the private sector with just an occupational license. The vast majority of the clients that we work with, they all pay using their insurance companies. And so before you can go to the insurance company and say, I have this therapist that's willing to see your customers, they have to be credentialed, which is essentially the same as a licensing process. Just each individual insurance company does it. Before we can even start that process, a person has to have their occupational license. So just to kind of give you sort of a timeline, let's say I hire somebody and they already have their ASHA certification, which is required for licensing in the state of Alaska. So we would be waiting 4 to 6 weeks for state occupational licensure. And then simultaneously, we would have to get credentialed with all of the different insurance companies in the state. So we would take that state license and we would say, okay, Medicaid, here's this person, and here's their state license. You have to vet them using their license. That's another 2 to 4 weeks. And then we would do the same with Primera, Aetna, United, all of the small commercial insurances, and TRICARE. And so the time varies a lot. In terms of just state licensure, we're looking at 4 to 6 weeks, but that's not going to get a person in the door working. The entire process, with all of those different insurances, we've had it take up to a year. So everybody can see the full range of clients and not exclude any specific populations in our community for services. Does that answer your question?
It does, sir. Through the chair, it does offer us more information. So I guess I'd say, would the bill, as it lays out the audiologist and speech therapist's compact, would that truncate, would that shorten, would that make unnecessary that time to qualify for each insurance provider?
Yes, well, in a way. So each individual insurance company, they get to dictate how they do their credentialing process. But when we look at the timeline as a whole, with all of these different things we have to do together, you know, if it's going to take me 4 to 6 months or 4 months, let's just say, like, fastest time I've ever been able to get everything done was 4 months for somebody. If we can knock 1.5 months off of that process by eliminating the amount of time it takes to get a license, well, 2 or 3 months is better than 4. And I'll take that. And that's exactly what the compact will do for us. And I can tell you that I just did an interview with somebody on Monday who didn't take the position because she wanted to start working with me on in like 3 weeks. And she doesn't have an occupational license. And so without that occupational license, she can't even start being credentialed with any of the insurance companies. So my options as a business owner were to retain her at $50 or $55 an hour with full benefits for the, you know, 2 to 2.5 months it would take to get her an occupational license and to get her credentialed with Medicaid, which is typically the fastest. And even then, she could only see somewhere between 25% and 30% of the clientele that I have available in my clinic. So, you know, the compact isn't going to be a magic bullet for this. It's not going to solve all the problems, but it is a solid first step. And if it knocks out, you know, 15 or 20% of the time it takes to get somebody in the door working, it's absolutely worth it.
So follow up, I want to make sure I understand correctly. So you're saying the The compact would not address the time it takes to qualify with an insurer, be it Medicaid or private carrier, but it would tend to reduce the overall time. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Because having an occupational license is a prerequisite to starting the credentialing process. These processes are all very redundant. But at the end of the day, you know, the state occupational license, you know, it's the first step in this entire process. No, the compact does not have any, it's not a governing body. It can't change rules for the state or any, private companies or insurance companies and dictate that they do anything. It can make sure that the requirements for state licensure are met and inform them to the state and expedite the process of getting somebody in a position where they can work.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Jameson. Next, we will move on to Andrea Toth. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Andrea Toth. I'm calling in support of House Bill 138. I am the current president of the Alaska Speech and Hearing Association and owner of a clinic in Eagle River and Wasilla. Previously an outpatient therapist at Focus in Eagle River and have worked in multiple settings in Alaska since 1993. I will skip my things I was going to say about the process of speeding up credentialing, as David touched on that very well, but receiving that license faster would allow us to get that process started much sooner. I have a high number of military families as clients in Eagle River and some in Wasilla, and two employees who are military spouses. The compact would allow us to follow families easily as they transition to new bases during a time where they might be looking for a new therapist in the area, and allow us to onboard therapists for quicker employment, reducing wait lists. Alaska does not have a licensing board for speech and audiology. Our licenses are dependent on our national certification overseen by ASHA, who supports the compact. And they will also be providing a higher degree of consumer protection as they oversee the compact as well. This will certify that we have met acceptable standards of practice and promote cooperation between compact states. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I am available.
Thank you. We do have a question from Representative Sapper.
Thank you, through the chair. Sure. Andrea, Ms. Toth. You said again, Alaska has no speech language pathology, a licensing board. You said it's covered by ASHA. You ran off a couple of acronyms. Could you kind of say that slower and let me know with how the licensure certification is handled for your profession?
I apologize. I'm not good with acronyms either. I was told to keep it short, so I tried with that. But, we currently are required to get the Alaska license. We need to submit our national certification from the American Speech and Hearing Association. So currently, the national certification is what allows us to get our state license in Alaska in the first place. ASHA will be a part of overseeing the compact, so they are already involved in making sure that the people that they give certifications to have the qualifications and are up to the standards of our national association.
Thank you, Ms. Toth. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. And I don't see anyone else online wanting to testify. I will turn back to the room. Is there anyone wishing to testify on House Bill 138? All right. Seeing none and no other folks online, I will close public testimony on House Bill 138. And I will set House Bill 138 aside for another hearing on Monday as well. Which brings us to the last item on today's agenda, which is House Bill 145, another bill from Representative Wright. And excellent. I was getting concerned that Rachel was going away. Okay. Okay, so the sponsor of the bill had a CS drafted that we will be introduced to now. Let's introduce that first. Representative Sadler, if you would like to make that motion.
Surely, Mr. Chair, I move that the committee adopt the CS for HB 145, 33-LS0508, /U for uniform as our working document.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none, we have adopted this committee substitute as our working document. And it does look like we have a summary of changes that was put out by Representative Wright's office. But we also have staff here to help us go through these changes. So please introduce yourself for the record and walk us through the changes in the committee substitute, please.
For the record, my name is Pye Reardon Randall, legislative aide to Representative Stanley Wright of House District 22. And to the chair, the summary of changes, it is actually the four amendments that we had originally sent out, and it seemed more expeditious to bring them in on a committee substitute. And starting from the top on the summary of changes, amend Section 3, adding new subsection D to AS 0620.25 to clarify that lenders who issue loans to Alaska residents where the borrower completes the in-person or electronic transaction while being physically present must register as a small loan licensee. This change would protect Alaskan consumers by regulating lenders who say they do not have to register in Alaska because their server or other infrastructure is located out of state. It would also provide clarity to businesses who may be unclear if they need to register. Section 4, adding new section AS 06.20.025, National Registry, allowing the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development to participate in the nationwide multi-state licensing system and registry, NMLS. And utilize the registry to register licensees and have licensees apply, renew an application, submit reports, pay fees, submit reports, upload surety bonds, challenge information input by the department into the registry, and input other information and forms into the registry. This change should reduce the administrative burden on licensees. Currently, licensees must complete a PDF application, email it to the division, and mail a check or fax a credit card authorization to pay application fees. These processes should be streamlined if licensees apply through NMLS, which is used in over 50 U.S. states and territories. Renewal applications would simply note any changes versus having to fill out a full application each year. Surety bonds could be uploaded by the insurance company. Fees could be paid by ACH or credit card directly, and no more emails or PDFs to submit the application. Additionally, this change will reduce the work required by the division to process applications. Section 5, amending AS 06.20.030A, allowing the department to collect application investigation fees through the NMLS registry. Section 6, amending AS 06.20.030B, allowing the department to collect application fees through the NMLS registry, as well as bringing the licensing structure for small loan licensees to the modern era. The proposed licensing structure is similar to the licensing structure currently found in deferred deposit advance or payday licensing. This change is not expected to increase application fees on current small loan licensees and will keep fees constant for any DDA licensee who migrates to a small loan license. Repealing and reenacting AS 06.20.090, places of business, to update the licensing structure of small loan licensees. Section 8, amending AS 06.20.170 for periodic examinations to change the requirement that the department shall examine small loan licensees at least once every 18 months to as often as necessary to carry out the other purposes of this chapter. This change would reduce the regulatory burden and cost on licensees by allowing the division to examine based on risk rather than being calendar driven. This as needed examination structure is found in mortgage AS 06.60, money services AS AS06.55 and DDA lending AS06.50. This change would create consistency and fairness among programs. Section 11. Adding new section AS06.20.325, criminal threats, to prohibit small loan licensees from threatening a borrower with criminal prosecution as a result of the borrower's default. This change would increase consumer protections by implementing language similar to what is currently found in AS06.50, the DDA. Section 12, adding a new paragraph to AS.06.900, definitions defining registry as the nationwide multi-state licensing system and registry.
Okay, thank you for going through those summary and explanation changes. Are there any questions on the committee substitute? Representative Sapin.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Burton Randall. On section 4 and the additions, I just want to make sure I understand this national registry. It's fairly significant civil sections implementing it. Is this simply for people who are licensed under the small loan chapter of Title 6, or who all does this cover?
I would defer to Director of Securities and Banking, Rob Schmidt, who's on the line.
Thank you. And we do have actually three folks online for questions. We have Tracy Reno, Robert Schmidt, and Ryan Dukowitz. So, Mr. Schmidt, if you're online, if you need that question repeated, if not, please introduce yourself and feel free to answer.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the registry, the NMLS, stands for the Nationwide Multi-State Licensing Service. It was previously known as the Nationwide Mortgage Licensing Service. It was created in the late 2000s after the Great Recession and as a result of mortgage reforms. It has now been greatly expanded and is a licensing service for all sorts of financial industries. It profoundly benefits both businesses and the division by having a centralized, streamlined, computerized, automated online system to process and review mortgages as opposed to paper, pen, PDF, emails, that sort of stuff. It is widely used in many different financial services. It is currently used by licensees under the Alaska Small Loan Act. But I would defer to my colleague, Chief of Examinations, Tracy Reno, who has a very granular understanding of how NMLS works.
Thank you. If you feel like chiming in on that for Tracy Reno, please introduce yourself for the record and give us a little description.
For the record, this is Tracy Reno, Chief of Examinations for the Division of Banking and Securities. The NMLS is currently used in Alaska on mortgage licensing and reporting, also for payday lending and for money service businesses. It's currently used nationwide for small loan companies or consumer finance loans in 33 states.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions on the committee substitute? Okay, seeing none. Any other discussion from committee members on House Bill 145? Representative Sabbath.
Mr. Chairman, I confess that I had not reviewed the CS. We just adopted it. I'm concerned that there's some pretty significant changes in adopting the National Registry. I fear I just have not had enough time to properly vet that. I don't wish to impede the progress of the underlying bill, but I'm just concerned that I want to be able to explore what the implications are of adopting joining this National Registry. Not saying it's bad, I'm just saying I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Sadler. Let us take a brief at ease. We're going to take a brief at ease. House Labor and Commerce. We have House Bill 145 in front of us. And is there any other discussion on this bill before we set this aside? Hearing none. Okay, we will set aside House Bill 145, and we will take that up at a later date. So that brings us to the end of our business today. Any further comments from committee members? Representative Prox.
Rats. I missed it. I'll ask him offline.
No worries. Okay. With no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect. The time is 3:58 p.m. We will be in adjournment until 3:15 p.m. May 8th, 2023. We are adjourned.